Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Ezra. We're going to go chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6. Then King Darius issued a decree, and search was made in the archives where the treasures were stored in Babylon. And in Ecbatana, in the fortress, which is in the province of Media, a scroll was found, and there was written in it as follows. Memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus, Cyrus the king issued a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the temple, the place where sacrifices are offered, be rebuilt, and let its foundations be retained, its height being 60 cubits and its width 60 cubits, with three layers of huge stones and one layer of timbers. Let the cost be paid from the royal treasury. And also let the gold and silver utensils of the temple of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, be returned and brought to their places in the temple in Jerusalem, and you shall put them in the house of God. Now, therefore, Tattenai, governor of the province beyond the river, Shethar-Bozenai, and your colleagues, the officials of the provinces beyond the river, keep away from there. Leave this work on the house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I issue a decree concerning what you are to do for these elders of Judah in the rebuilding of this house of God. The full cost is to be paid to these people from the royal treasury out of the taxes of the provinces beyond the river, and that without delay. And whatever is needed, both young bulls, rams, and lambs for burnt offering to the God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, and anointing oil as a priest in Jerusalem requests, it is to be given to them daily without fail, that they may offer acceptable sacrifices to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. And I issue a decree that any man who violates this edict, a timber shall be drawn from his house, and he shall be impaled on it, and his house shall be made a refuse heap on account of this. And may the God who has caused his name to dwell there overthrow any king or people who attempts to change it so as to destroy this house of God in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have issued this decree. Let it be carried out with all diligence. Then Tattenai, the governor of the province beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai, and their colleagues carried out the decree with all diligence, just as King Darius had sent. And the elders of the Jews were successful in building through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they finished building according to the command of God of Israel and the decree of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar. It was the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. And the sons of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. And they offered for the dedication of this temple of God 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats corresponding to the number of the tribes of Israel. Then they appointed the priests to their divisions and the Levites in their orders for the service of God in Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And the exiles observed the Passover on the 14th of the first month. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves together. All of them were pure. Then they slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the exiles, both for their brothers, priests, and for themselves. And the sons of Israel who returned from exile and all those who had separated themselves from the impurity of the nations of the land to join them to seek the Lord God of Israel ate the Passover. And they observed the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had caused them to rejoice and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to encourage them in the work of the house of God, the king, the God of Israel. Amen. Ash, can you turn me up on this? Okay, so this is really, incredibly, incredibly exciting news here. So the temple is built. If you remember the backstory, remember there was a decree, things were happening, and then the Samaritans came on the scene. Remember, they wanted to join the work, but the Jews and Samaritans had major, major issues. I mean, just to give an idea how bad it was, that during the most holy day of the Jewish calendar, Samaritans will actually unearth Jewish bodies. Remember there's a 1 year period where they throw the body into basically a cave, and then after a year, then they bury the bones, that kind of stuff. They would actually take these bones out, or sometimes go in during that 1 year period and lay it on the pathway when they went to Jerusalem. Because remember, the Mosaic law says you can't go near a dead body. And so they were preventing the Jews from worshiping their God. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, they were crazy. Now, On the other side, the Jews also did a lot of bad things to the Samaritans, right? So it's kind of like, you know, the Palestinians, the Jews, it's like back and forth. This actually has been being played out in history for ages. You know, someone does a bad thing, they retaliate, and it goes on and on and on. And it's amazing, I mean, this is kind of a commentary. It's amazing how the Old Testament and New Testament talk about this incredible weapon that actually subdues this type of revenge, and it's simply called forgiveness. Can you imagine how different the world would be if we just simply forgave one another instead of retaliated? In any case, so it happens. So the work is not. It was exceptionally hot today during the run, but you know, if you remember, what was I saying? The work was halted during this time, and I mean, there was a great tribulation to the Jews. 12 years they stopped the work until Haggai the prophet kept prophesying to them to finish their obedience to the Lord. And then God raises up, remember he raised up Cyrus before, now he raises up Tatanai. And again, we don't know if that's a title or the family name. And so they raise up Tatanai and he comes, and what does he do? He goes and investigates this matter, and so we're basically getting the report. So the report comes, by the way, Ecbatana in the fortress, this is what we call, this is actually modern day Nineveh. And so this is happening here in Nineveh, and so these guys come and inquire of this whole process of building the temple, and guess what? God goes above and beyond. Remember in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 20, and he says, and now God is able to do exceedingly abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. That's actually one of my favorite verses. Because I don't know about you, but I can imagine a lot of incredible things. You know what I mean? I mean, asking, like, I probably don't ask for crazy stuff. I mean, once in a while I do. I mean, mostly kingdom stuff. But there's a lot of things I imagine. And so he tells us here that, you know, you ask and even greater than what you imagine. And he says he's able to do much more exceedingly abundantly. So we had this decree. Now remember, the Jews were afraid of the previous edict before, when the Samaritans basically used political savvy. You know, it would be a kind akin to these days, like political action groups or lobbyists in the Persian court. And so they get the work halted, so they stop the work, the prophet needs to speak, so they're afraid. And so there's not much confidence in that. And so what does God do? God raises up someone outside of their group to investigate, to inquire from King Darius, and Darius happens to find this memorandum, which basically says, yes, this is the edict of King Cyrus. By the way, Persian, Babylonian, all very similar. When a king's edict is given, it must be followed through. It remains still an edict until there's another edict that stops it or the work is completed. Now, obviously, they found no work to stop this work, no edict to stop it. So this is still on the books. And so, but then there's even more. And so they say, yes, the work is to be completed. That's number one. Number two, oh yeah, it's the money is supposed to come from the king's treasury. And so look what Darius does, or I should say, look what God does. Ezra makes sure that he's giving credit to the Lord. Not only are you gonna leave these guys alone, but your taxes, and by the way, beyond the river, this would be the taxes of the Samaritans. And so imagine adding insult to injury. The Samaritans are going to be paying for the temple of God. Now, this reminds you of another story, actually, that happens after chapter 6. It happens in between chapter 6 and chapter 7 of Ezra, and we get the book Esther, or Hadassah. And so remember in the book of Esther, Haman wants to kill the Jews, and so God raises up Esther, gives her beauty, you know, to go and basically serve the king, and she goes in and saves the people, and then Haman erected this huge, you know, like massive gallows to hang Jews, and instead, what happens? he gets hanged in those gallows. Everything that he has is given to Mordecai. And so we see kind of a very similar story. What the enemy used for destruction, God turns it into a blessing. Brothers and sisters, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He tells us in Deuteronomy, he says that you are the head and not the tail. That in Ephesians 3:20, he's able to do much more exceedingly abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. Isn't that what Joseph said? Joseph said, the enemy causes for evil, but God turned this for good. That has always been God's MO. That's always been what God has done. The enemy is trying to strike down, try to break, try to do all kinds of things, and God's going to turn it for good. I know that we're worried and stressed and praying about what's happening in Hong Kong. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know what the enemy has created and caused for evil, God's going to turn to good. That's who he is. It's kind of like that's what God does. You know what I mean? You know, for sports fans, right? Michael Jordan, he just scores. You know what I mean? You know, Tom Brady, he just throws touchdowns. I don't know why I said that. Sorry. I can't stand the Patriots. But in any case, right, I got to admit, he is the GOAT. And so people just do certain things. You know what I mean? God just redeems. That's his thing. That's what he does. He turns bad situations. He turns beauty from ashes. He takes mourning and he turns it into dancing. That's just simply what he does. Think about this context. He takes these scared Jews, these Israelites, who've already gone through incredible turmoil of being a vassal state and then being released. Can you imagine the ups and downs they're going through? They are prisoners. I mean, not prisoners, but they're slaves. They get freed to go do this task. To build a temple. In the midst of building the temple, they're thwarted by their neighbors, and then God totally comes through. I mean, can you imagine a roller coaster ride these guys are going through? And then after obedience, they decide to obey the Lord, and as they're obeying, then God, remember he works, the invisible hand of God, the sovereign hand of God, works behind the scenes. And what does he do? He raises up a righteous governor who investigates, who does, basically, he is able to undo all the political maneuvering of the Samaritans in the capital. He's able to go with his lofty position, because he's higher than the Samaritans. He's able to go as a governor straight to Darius and his leaders, and then the decree is issued. And remember, he's able to do much more exceedingly. And not only does the building of the things come from the temple, but all the other auxiliary instruments and things that they need, anointing oil, animals, all those things. And he says, oh, yeah, by the way, you give them those things every single day. See, he's able to do much more exceedingly abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. You can never outgive God. You know what I mean? You can never outgive God. He is the greatest giver. And so they get bulls, rams, lambs for their offering, wheat, salt, wine. These are basically staples. This is everything they need to survive. You know, and basically why this is important is because they don't need to go harvest wheat. They don't need to go make oil. They don't need to, you know, tend animals. They're brought to them every day. So what is their only purpose? To build. That's basically what Darius does for them, or what God does for them. He says, okay, I know there's all these other things that need to be taken care of. I'm going to take care of it for you. You just go build. Brothers and sisters, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You focus on what God wants you to do. God will take care of everything else. Doesn't that remind us of something that Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. Right? Like all those things, basically what he's saying is all those things that you need to seek God first, he says, I'm going to take care of it. You take care of putting God first. You take care of him. You take care of his kingdom. All these other things that you need for this mission, I'll give it to you. Right? It's all for you. Another way of saying it is, everything you need for this vision, God will give you the provision for that. And that's basically how this thing works. It's really an incredible story. And then, so they finally build this temple, and God gives them so much joy, gives them, such a celebration. These exiles, right, generations. Probably by the time they get to this temple, there's probably no one alive. One scholar basically says there's probably no one alive that actually remembers the other temple. They've all passed by now. And so these guys come back, and it's a new season for them. It's a new thing, and which goes all the way back to the writings of Isaiah when he tells them that God's going to bring you, Isaiah, and particularly Jeremiah. Remember Jeremiah says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future hope. That was after the Babylonian captivity. And he was telling them, that's a word for, I know you're going into prison, you're going into captivity, but God says, I got your back. And this is going to be a blessing. And now they're walking into the fullness, because now they get to have their temple. They get to have the place where the glory of God dwells. And it's such an amazing thing. And the next time we meet, which I guess will be Tuesday, we'll get to chapter 7, but 50-some years will pass, okay, in between this time, which is really the season of Esther, I talked about earlier, all right? So let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. There are so many rich nuggets from this passage. One, real simple application is, man, are there difficult things going on in your life right now? Does there seem to be opposition? The Lord wants you to know, don't give up. Remain true to the vision that God has given to you. And he will do much more exceedingly abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. He takes the plans of the enemy, and he thwarts them. And he turns them into good. What the enemy caused for evil, God has turned to good. Or maybe you're in a struggle right now of putting God first, putting his kingdom first. Maybe it deals with your finances, and you're wrestling about giving or tithing. You're wrestling about generosity, or even your work. Maybe you're challenged to cut corners and to lie or something. Stay true to the vision. God will always have your back. And not only does he have your back, there's increase and promotion when you do it God's way. And so as we sing to the Lord, as we worship the Lord, let the Holy Spirit speak to you about where you're at today.
Mornings, even oceans and bow at your feet. Lord, who am I compared to your glory?
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for His kingdom to come and His will be done. Let's pray that we would occupy our time with those things instead of the things of this world. But yet God will provide the things of this world. Another way of saying is, man, we do our part, God will do His part. Well, if you're in need of some redemption, cry out to God today. If something's stirring in your heart in the Lord, is a vision that God has given to you that maybe that you're having difficulty obeying, put Him first. Watch what God does when we step out in that place of obedience. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for that word of salvation. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Thank you. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia, who's here on her furlough. Let's pray that she would get rest, and God would just continue to minister to her. Let's pray for Cambodia. Pray for grace. Pray for her business. Pray for Oasis House with Pastor Jenny. I ask the Holy Spirit to move in a powerful way. Let's lift up. Let's cover our missions council, and let's ask God to use our leaders, give us wisdom and revelation, and really, more than anything else, His heart to really lead and to help our missionaries and continue to lead our church and our missional endeavors. Let's pray. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries, the Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers, and all the people that we come in contact with. Let's pray the presence of God would be with us. Let's pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministries. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide and bless Cadence. I know she'll be going to a conference pretty soon. I pray that she would learn and continue to grow in her position. And pray for our babies that we're carrying. Pray for the families, especially ones that are going through the interview process. And let's pray for a successful process that we can care for more babies at church. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, intercessory prayer team, SP Youth, and SPU, our college ministry. Let's pray for our leaders, pray for our prayer team, that would really seek God's face and really pray the prayers of heaven. Let's pray for our young kids and our college students, that they would really fall deeper in love with the Lord tonight. Let's pray for House Church's meeting tonight. Elements, McCain, McDaddy, and McRobinson. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide and our leaders, our hosts. Pray that people would really connect with God and with one another. And lastly, let's just pray for our city. We know that the weekends, usually when all the messiness happens in our city, let's pray for God's protection. Let's pray for peace. And you know, and what I said earlier, you know, what the enemy planned for evil, let God turn to good. Let there be really positive effects that happen, and repentance and forgiveness and all these principles that we live by would really flow through our city. Let's lift up. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. Thank you that you turn evil into good, Lord. You've always done that. Throughout history, you do it today in our lives, God. Well, you've taken our lives, Lord, that were hopeless, we were lost, God, and you found us, Lord, and you took us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And I pray that you do that with our city, you do that with our families, our companies, God, that we work at. Lord, the places that we reside, Lord, come and be the light, God, in this place where there's so much darkness, Lord. God, and turn evil into good, Lord, and use us to do that, Father. We thank you. Would you watch over us and help us to be carriers of your light everywhere we go, Lord. We thank you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you over the weekend.